Final 5 seconds of regulation. Cardi from 37 to win it. The rookie with the right foot. Kick on the way. And it's a Cardi party at SoFi Stadium. 27-24. Their first lead of the game with 2 seconds left.
Rams radio. I mean, how? How? The 49ers, Perloff, had this game. You just heard it right there in the highlight. They were leading every moment up until 2 seconds left when the Rams kicked that very easy sort of chip shot field goal to take the lead. There were 2 seconds left. It didn't matter. It was over. And I think the 49ers, once you get over the shock of what happened, you just have to be in total disgust. How, again, blowing these late leads and getting outcoached?
I'm not sure exactly. Outcoached, it's an interesting way to put it. What part of did Shanahan screw up? I mean, they can't rush a passer anymore. So that's one thing that's off. All their weapons are hurt, and their left tackle, who was the key to the team, apparently, is up and down.
Is up and down. Tell me what the Rams had. The Rams had their two best offensive weapons were definitely gone. They have all their injuries across the offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, but those weapons, if you put Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua on other teams, like, they're great weapons, but Stafford is the engine.
Okay, well, the 49ers had Purdy. So they both had their quarterbacks.
Yeah, Purdy was great.
Yeah, Purdy was fine. But they both had their quarterbacks. I don't think that was, oh gosh, Kyle Shanahan did nothing wrong here because the Rams had Matthew Stafford. Like, that doesn't.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I definitely, like, I walk away from that game. Yeah, there were mistakes, but and special teams was not great either. I just think it's not, to me, a Shanahan loss. I think they were too beat up, and I'm really worried about that defense.
But they weren't too beat up to take a lead. So that's my problem. And on the defense, the guys were there. I'm watching Nick Bosa. I'm watching Fred Warner. I'm seeing all the stars. They were there. And they were allowing touchdowns. Kyren Williams scored one somersault touchdown that was really impressive that we'll probably get on the highlight reels. But the last one was the easy. He walked in, basically, down the middle. And here's the thing, though, about, like, the Jake Moody missed a 55-yarder. I know we say 50-yarders are, like, automatic these days, but that was not a gimme at all. But, yeah, you're right. The special teams is bad. And the fake punt executed by the Rams was great, kept a drive alive for them. And so, yeah, you can blame the 49ers special teams. But my question about Shanahan is, you're right, the defense is not ferocious again, yet you basically have the same personnel.
Well, so, sort of.
What's up with that? Dre Greenlaw's not there. Okay.
But listen, you've been rotating that defensive line. Like, you didn't want to pay DeForest Buckner, and you didn't want to pay, I think, Armstead left. Like, you basically have been kind of keeping together, and just, like, to me, that's a difference. It's like Nick Bosa or nobody gets to the quarterback. I don't know what has changed there. It just feels like a completely different team. And normally, the Niners would put that game away with their defense, and
they can't.
Well, they just can't right now. So Purdy, I like what you said about Purdy. Purdy's fine. Now, you need to salt away a win. You need Christian McCaffrey running the ball. I know Mason's good. And you need Debo. I think that's a big deal, too. Debo getting the tough yards. Like, there was just not enough first downs in the fourth quarter. So it wasn't just like a last second. By the way, we're talking about individual mistakes. Ronnie Bell touch. It was a slow burn. Like, you could feel the Niners losing hold of that game for most of the second half. You're like, wait a second. Why aren't the Niners getting ahead more? What is wrong with this team? They're just not that Super Bowl team right now.
No, they're not. 855-212-4227. No, they're not the Super Bowl team right now. But I ask you, like, again, if you have something that seems like it's following you from one season to the next.
Blown leads.
Well, that's Shanahan's, like, MO. You know, he's kind of, I hate to say it, he's kind of known for that. But when you have something that's not fixed in the next year, we can't come on here and just start skewering the Cowboys for not fixing their run defense and then come out and say, well, the 49ers get a pass when their defense has not been good over the last season and a half.
Well,
half of last season to now.
I thought you were going to say about blowing leads.
And blowing leads is a problem.
I'm not sure that's necessarily fair because of the injuries.
But if the Rams were at full strength, I would say you're absolutely right. Let's blame the injuries. But you actually were facing a more injured team than you. They were a touchdown favorite in this game.
Yeah, I understand. I watched the game, but there's just some special sauce missing. Maybe it's Robert Saleh. I'm not sure. Or D'Amico Ryans. Maybe it's the coaching. I could point to that. They are just not the same team. And even last year, towards the end of last year, you're right. They kind of have to win. Now it's like a Brock Purdy show, which I don't think they want to do ideally. And Purdy, I saw, ended with a 137.1 rating. Like, he was pretty brilliant. Like, the guy moves around like crazy. I don't know if he can keep this up without getting hurt because he's not big. But,
and he doesn't slide. He always goes head first.
Yeah, I just think that the rest of the team, there's definitely like a special sauce missing. And I'm not putting on the coaching. I think those players, with the, you mentioned the names on the back of the jerseys. Those are stars. The guys who are actually healthy and on the field have to play like it.
Okay, but like, you know, I did see Juwan Jennings have a very good first half. I'm watching him score 3 touchdowns.
Right, right. But he's not a star.
He's not, but they just paid him.
$15 million for 2 years.
To stick around.
They paid him tight end money.
But that's fine. They chose that they wanted him to stick around, and he was good. And then all of a sudden, the Rams either took him away in the second half or just was not nearly as effective. 855-212-4227. Meanwhile, you had, you know, Ronnie Bell dropped a really big pass, and I know 49er fans are fed up because they don't think he's ever been productive. And then on the flip side, when you have guys who are out like Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp for the Rams, here comes Tutu Atwell, who looks just as awesome.
Yeah. Remember, Tutu Atwell came out of with a lot of hype, and then I thought he was a total bust until yesterday.
Yeah, during the Super Bowl team, wasn't he was good that year, right? He was on that team, no? And I got to
like
double
special
check
teams,
that.
Maybe?
Bill is in California. Bill, who are you blaming the Niners' loss on yesterday?
Oh, let me tell you, I hate being a Monday morning coach, but I'm going to today. Perloff, I will agree with you. The Niners' defense isn't what it was. And so this loss goes on Kyle Shanahan 100% for putting so much on his defense. That last field goal should have never been tried. They should have punted it deep because it was late in the game. Your defense hasn't been that strong. The Niners were good enough to win yesterday, and Kyle Shanahan blew it. Should have never gave him only half a field. That's a high percentage field goal. We all know it. He knows.
Oh, Bill, we lost you. You must be going through a dead zone there. But fair. The one thing about Jake Moody, though, is he was not good last year. And in the Super Bowl, he was dead eye. Like, couldn't miss. And he was fantastic then. And now a 55-yarder that he missed. Barely, but he missed it.
Yeah, I agree with the caller there, though. There were opportunities to put it away. I'm not sure what to do with the Niners. Like, they're definitely not a bad team. If you put Kittle, Debo, Christian McCaffrey back on this team, I mean, do you want to see them in the playoffs? You could say Kyle Shanahan's a terrible coach, but the guys won a lot of playoff games. So to count them out seems like a mistake as well.
The only thing about that, and you're right, but is that flawed logic that these guys make a lot of money when they're never healthy? You know, McCaffrey had injury issues going back to Carolina. Kittle usually misses time. Debo misses games every year. So you're asking guys to, like, this is who they are. This is what it is. This is the deal you make, right? You have these 3 really good weapons, but they are going to miss time.
Yeah, but you've still made 4 out of the last 5 conference title games.
I guess let's take away everything and just focus on this game. You had the game. Like, we can talk about when you get to the NFC Championship game and all that stuff. Let's focus on what happened yesterday. You were winning, and you should have won.
Yeah.
And I think that's the frustrating part of this for 49er fans. You had injuries. They had injuries. You made mistakes. They made mistakes. All of that. There was no excuse to me for the 49ers to lose that game, I think, is where you and I disagree.
Well, it was a loss. It was a week 3 loss. I mean, nobody in San Francisco is happy about it. But I think the only issue is, what does it mean bigger picture? Because, yeah, of course, you're saying that they're frustrated at blowing a 14-point lead in the second half?
No, I'm just saying, I think think you're saying, well, what does it actually matter? What does it mean?
Right,
and
right.
I'm saying I think it actually does matter, and I think it actually does mean something.
So you think it's moving forward, this is like kind of the Niners we're going to get?
I don't know if it's what we're going to get. I don't have any faith in the defense.
Yeah, I think that they bring a lot of things together when they get healthy. Honestly, like, even this game, like, they were the better team for most of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not going to help anybody who's a Niners fan by saying there's a glimmer of hope, a silver lining here. But I'm going to go glass half full. Like, oh, man, they have a good quarterback. They, you know, if you add, imagine adding Debo, Kittle, and McCaffrey to an offense. Just imagine that, Niners fan.
I watched it. I saw them last year. They had this, and I get it. They came within an eyelash of the Super Bowl. But the thing is like, when these losses happen and you get another blown loss, I think it brings up a lot of old feelings. because you don't have this Lombardi trophy there with Kyle Shanahan to rely on. Hey, we've seen him get out of this before. We've seen them be able to turn this around before. We've seen him get really far. You're right. Shanahan has won a lot of playoff games, but I think that we tend not to focus on those because of the high profile losses. And anytime you have like a lead and then lose it, it feels like Shanahan signing the bottom of the painting, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't view it. If I was a 49ers fan, I would try to keep my head up today. You're absolutely right. Everything you said is true, but you can at least, I mean, the reality is you have to hope some of these guys are coming back, or what are we even doing here? They have no chance. If all three of those guys are done for the year, then who cares anyway, because they're not going to win. But I think they will be back. I think they have some winnable games on the schedule coming up. And also, too, when they're fully healthy, every game's a winnable game. Remember, they came in the season, they were favored in every game?
Yeah, I think it's probably still that way. They play the Patriots next week. So,
well, they have the Chiefs coming up. And if there's no McCaffrey, no Debo, then...
But it's in San Francisco.
Yeah. I mean, no McCaffrey, no Debo. You can't give him the edge on that one.
That'd be tough. 855-212-4227. That is the number to get involved with the show. You want to weigh in on the 49ers? Rough one yesterday. Adrian is in Maryland. Adrian, do you blame the coaching yesterday, or do you blame the fact that there were injuries yesterday?
There's no, you can't blame injuries. The Rams were worse off than the 49ers. Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. They probably had a couple offensive linemen down as well. So that's not an excuse. The Niners just lost the game to a lesser team yesterday. And Maggie, I think I just fell in love with you because you said everybody wants to secure the Cowboys, but when the Niners lose, oh, it's an excuse that they're missing this guy and they're missing that guy. What team healthy each week? So you got to overcome those odds.
Adrian, I mean, I'm there with you. This is why I can't give the 49ers a pass here. Yeah, there were a lot of big players out for them, but there were also a lot of big players out for the Rams. And, you know, the Rams just found a way at the end of the game.
Right. Hey, I got one more thing to say in the Dallas game.
Yeah.
I told my son, Dallas started going for 2-2 early. If they do not go for two, that last touchdown they got, the going for two would have tied the game.
Yeah.
So McCarthy went for two too early, and the second onside kick was not necessary. You're down two scores, 10-point game. You kick the ball long, kick it deep, and you got 7 minutes on the clock. What team goes onside with 7 minutes left on the clock? And you basically gave them a short field. They got off the field. Dallas defense got off the field, but you gave them a short field, and you made your offense go on a long field.
But, Adrian, they just hit an onside kick.
What's that?
But they got the onside kick before.
They got the first one. They tried it again.
Yeah.
The second time. That's the time they didn't get it.
Right, I know. But I mean, you can understand their logic. With 11 minutes left, they try it. I mean, it kind of felt like it was working.
When you play blackjack and you hit on 16 the first time, you don't hit on it the second time.
That's so good.
You're right, Adrian. It's so true, especially because it was, first of all, feels like it's a miracle for anyone to recover an onside kick in this day and age. Adrian, thank you for the call. Think about it. You've got to be trailing in the fourth quarter, obviously, but also you've got to announce it to everyone. You can't even do the surprise onside kick anymore. They've really taken the onside kick kind of just away out of the game, and then lo and behold, here come the Cowboys, actually do convert one as all part of this sort of furious comeback. But the second one was never going to hit. The odds would have been so improbable. That's like we talk about records that will never be broken in sports, like back-to-back no-hitters and stuff. Like, we're never going to see this again. Back-to-back onside kicks getting recovered, no shot.
I do understand, though, because Baltimore was running the ball so well, and you have, like, Lamar Jackson, the first-down machine on the other side. Like, it was desperate times. It's not like they were down 10 against Baltimore. It wasn't, like, an easy win if they'd kicked it off.
So the other part, too, about going for the two-point conversion, that's just one of those sort of analytics these days kinds of things. They say that if you're going to need a two-point conversion, better to do it on the first touchdown than on the potentially tying touchdown.
No. I don't think that it was the Cowboys were on an odd score, weren't they?
Well, they needed, remember, they went for the two-point after the first touchdown they scored in the fourth quarter, right? And they didn't get it. Am I right about that?
Right. But I think they were aiming for, I think they were on an odd score. They were down 28-12. So that's why you went for two. There's no reason to be down.
Right.
Yeah, 28-13. It wasn't that specific analytic situation. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, it was just, it was bad. The two-point conversion was nothing.
There's something about coaching and analytics that's bothering me right now.
What's
and
that?
It is the aspect of teams don't seem to understand that, yes, the analytics may say do one thing, but you also have to understand your personnel and what your plays are. Like, I'm tired of teams who don't have good fourth and one plays going for it on fourth down because the analytics say so, or teams that don't have good two-point plays saying, well, the analytics, they go for two, so just go for two. Like, at a certain point, like, you also have to coach the team you have, not just what a computer says for any generic NFL team. And just I feel to, like I see that all the time.
Just to be clear, it was 28-12 Ravens. They had no choice. You have to go for two. So you're not going to make it 28-13. You're going to make it try and make it 28-14.
14, of course.
Yeah, unless you want to go for two later. But they were on an odd, they were at an island because you had hit two field goals, so they had to go for it. That wasn't an analytics decision.
Well, the other part, though, is that the Ravens' defense is, I mean, it felt like they were excelling. When the field is getting tighter and tighter, that is not when I want to start testing the Ravens' defense. And the Cowboys don't have a good run game. It's hard.
One thing, I felt the same way that EJ did. I was so many teams were going in fourth and one and ran these terrible plays.
Yeah.
Obviously, most noteworthy, Atlanta at the end of that game. But I felt like, God, teams didn't have a chance on fourth down.
Well, if they don't want to put their quarterbacks under center, I mean, it's one thing that bothers everybody is when you are fourth and inches and the quarterback's in shotgun. Like, what? We watched Tom Brady do this for a decade. He's two decades, pardon me. He's one of the least athletic quarterbacks out there, and he could convert a quarterback sneak 100 times out of 100.
Our buddy Nick Costos at BetQL had a good point, a big social media conversation about why Kirk Cousins didn't sneak. Someone said put Michael Penix in there. Actually, Costos said put Penix in because Kirk has but Penix has never been under center in his entire life.
Yeah.
Not a single play. He has no idea how to be under center. So these college guys are more comfortable in shotgun too, which adds to the problems.
I would just like direct snap. I don't know. Mike is in California, disappointed by his 49ers. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, I have to agree with you that this is on Shanahan because if you look at the last drive, especially the last drive, I'd say the last two drives, they kept running out of bounds. I mean, they had the lead, and they kept running out of bounds instead of keeping the clock going. And it's like, look, you're missing half your offensive team, and you got the lead. Run the clock. And then that, to me, that's bad coaching. They kept running that outside sweep, and it's like, fine, at least drop down before you get out of bounds. I mean, that to me is coaching 100%.
Purdy slid. Mike, Purdy slid inbounds. That was like, everyone was like, oh my God, Brock Purdy, brilliant time management, slid inbounds.
Yeah, everybody on that team should know that. You know, so anyway, I agree with you, coaching, 100% on this.
Yeah, I think people are ticked off at Shanahan. I do. Thank you, Mike, for the call. And maybe it's nitpicking, but this is where you are as a team, right? You expect to have a lead, and you expect to be able to salt that away. Even without Christian McCaffrey.
When are these guys coming back, Meg? What's the latest from the Niners training room?
McCaffrey's going to be a bit. Because you notice also with McCaffrey, it started as a calf, and now they're putting Achilles tendonitis in there, too. That one sort of got snuck in.
And you rightfully said, well, why'd they pay this guy when Jordan Mason can run for all these yards? Why'd they pay the guy when he had a massive injury?
Well, I never understood the rush to get an extension done with him. He's already the highest paid running back. And now that you just added two more years, another $4 million on top when you're already got tons of people to pay. He had more years left on the contract.
I told you guys my conspiracy why that deal got done.
No, what? Why?
He had to pay for that wedding. That wedding with Miss Culpo, now Mrs. McCaffrey, looked expensive. And he just got a raise. I don't think he even gave him more years. And I was like, oh.
You think he can't afford a wedding already?
I think he wanted it to be more comfortable spending than it was. And
listen, weddings get expensive.
So he held out?
EJ, just wait. Yeah.
49ers said they had no idea why he was holding out. They were like, this is shocking to us. We don't know why this is happening. I was like, oh, that is weird. And then he gets the contract, and then a month later, I see this lavish wedding that People Magazine was at. And all these famous, you know, outlets were at. I was like, oh, he needed that bread.
Well, that's what they're recouping some of the money by having people be there with all access and pays them, and people will pay them for the photos.
When people like that, like Christian McCaffrey and Olivia Culpo, they don't pay for anything. Like, the people who are giving, they are given all that wedding stuff. Like, wedding designers are like, you don't have to pay. I thought that's how it works.
I think some of the stuff, like her dress probably, is either free or super discounted if she's going to put it on our social media. But I don't know. Like, I didn't Maybe. Are you think the caterers are going to do it for free? I doubt it. I think they get
a lot of discounts. Also, he's in a Home Depot commercial where he just stands there, which is bizarre. he's got to have enough money. For a wedding.
I'm not saying he doesn't have enough. I'm saying it's always a little more comfortable if you got a little bit of a cushion.
How much do you think she makes? She probably makes
$8 million a year. Yeah, they make a decent amount, but every little bit counts, Perloff. Just like
taxes in California.
every little bit counts.
Honestly, it's the best theory that anyone's come up with.
I know, they're living in a two-bedroom somewhere. I doubt it.
It's not Brock Purdy. He's living with a roommate and his girlfriend.
No, he got married, too. Purdy got married.
I mean, my wedding issue is different. It's Carson Steele and his sister getting married on a game day when your brother is playing for the Kansas City Chiefs because they had the venue.
It's a Sunday. You don't think a year ago that he's going to be in the NFL.
I understand. Well, you might. I mean, he had to be pretty good at college.
No, he was fine that last year at UCLA. But, like, are you really thinking my brother's going to get drafted in a late round? Isaiah Pacheco's going to go down, and all of a sudden now he's going to have like 25 carries on Sunday Night Football.
Well, even when Pacheco was out there, he still got 5 or 6 carries. I think you delay the wedding. He was supposed to be in the wedding party. Yes.
Delay the wedding? Do you know how hard these venues are to book, Perloff?
Do you know how hard it is to have a sibling who is running roughshod in the NFL? On a Sunday, is it that hard to book a Sunday?
In the fall, too.
Sunday in the fall. Not popular, you're saying?
I just don't agree with it. You know your brother's a professional football player.
You don't at the time, though. A year ago, he was not.
Saturdays might be busy for him, too, if he's in college. It's not right. Do a spring wedding on Sunday.
I was going to say, they should get married on what, a Wednesday?
Friday night.
Well, is Sunday that hard to get a venue? I mean, that's a little bit of a cheaper day, right?
I think nowadays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays are totally booked. I don't know. 855-212-4227. San Francisco, who are you putting the loss on? Is it Kyle Shanahan? Is it the players? We're seeing Ronnie Bell not making a play. You give a little credit to the Rams.
Darn Ronnie Bell. We're always saying Ronnie Bell.
Ah!
Ronnie Bell sounds like a character in Saved by the Bell or some sort of tweener show.
Little too on the nose if Ronnie Bell was on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, I think.
Something my 5-year-old to call.
Give me a.
He wasn't on that show. I thought it was a character named Ronnie Bell.
I should have gone. What's that other show that you like with Kevin Savage?
Boy Meets World.
Yeah, Boy Meets World. Darn it, I screwed up.
It's all right.
Ronnie Bell's a fake name.
He's hiding from something. 49er fans today. 855-212-4227. Okay. Coming up, we're giving out some grades. Our college report card comes your way next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I'm now obsessed with the net worth of Christian McCaffrey and Olivia Cooper. EJ,
hi.
With the best theory on why McCaffrey had to sort of push for a new contract this offseason, had an expensive wedding to pay for. McCaffrey has made in his career $81 million. Olivia Cooper, the model, has her own beauty line, own makeup line, own clothesline. Ed has acted as worth at least $10 million. You're telling me he needed a $4 million bump just to pay for a wedding? Could be. That's the best theory we have so far.
I mean, it's been a while. I just had my 10-year wedding anniversary, Pearl. You've been married, what, 15 years?
15, yes. Yeah. So I mean, coming up Friday.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I mean, it's been a while, but we all remember what it's like to plan a wedding. I mean, everything gets jacked up at least 20% when you put wedding on it.
But isn't it the wife's family's duty to pay for it? Traditionally?
I don't know if that's still the case.
I just think that a lot of people who provide services for weddings would do it at a discount for McCaffrey and Kupel. If they were really that, because then you could say, oh, I catered Christian McCaffrey's wedding. That's a big deal.
Yeah, but you also might want the money from catering Christian McCaffrey's wedding. You might, you know, but again, in this day and age, the way that, you know, how expensive food is, you can't get through the cocktail hour for $80 million.
Where was this wedding? It was somewhere.
Rhode Island.
Yeah, it was on the East Coast. Rhode Island? You think it's expensive to get married in Rhode Island?
Yeah, it's on the coast. It's beautiful.
It was right next to the Taylor Swift summer mansion.
Yeah, that part of Rhode Island is crazy.
What's it called? What's that area called with the mansions?
Watch Hill.
Watch Hill.
I don't know. It was in California. I think that they could afford this. I don't think that they had to stress
their budget.
It's not
that they can't afford it. It's that it would help. And Chris McCaffrey's like, hey, this is stick-up time.
Do you think the conversation was like this? They're sitting around like, oh, What should we get for hors d'oeuvres? Should it be, should we get the tuna carpaccio or pigs in a blanket? Well, if you want the tuna, I'm going to have to call John Lynch and get some more money.
So, if you want the shrimp, if you want the big shrimp, you're going to have to fork over some more money.
Isn't that odd, though? I mean, nobody knew he was concerned about his contract or the money. He's the highest paid running back in the NFL, so he's already set the market. And he comes out and he's like, I need more money. I need it now. I'm not showing up to training camp until I have it. When the Niners had like three other guys he had to pay.
Well, the other part is the Niners will drag this out with literally everyone.
Right.
They will drag it out to the last possible second with Bosa and with Ayuk and with Debo and all these guys. And it's like, oh, McCaffrey needs money? Here you go. Here's a race truck for you. You go to calf strain? It's probably nothing.
Okay. I'm reading about this wedding in Vogue magazine. They didn't pay for anything. Ocean House, it's clearly an advertisement for wherever this wedding was. This is all marketing. They could write off the entire thing. This is one giant marketing campaign. These pictures are too perfect, DJ. They didn't pay for a dime of this.
Wait, but what's the? I'm relatively new to this still, so I get why he would want the money. Why did the Niners give it to him?
Because they felt like they needed him, and they were foolish. Clearly, because they got this other guy, Jordan Mason, who's pretty decent.
How much money did they give him, by the way? What was the extra?
I know it was $4 million, right?
The extra $4 million.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, too. And like we said, Kittle, you mentioned Kittle is highly paid. None of them get that much money. Ayuk was basically breaking the bank.
No, $4 million on top of the $19
million. Righty.
Yeah.
I think he totaled,
maybe he totals 19. He's making
$19
a lot more than most other running backs.
Yeah, but he's still not making Ayuk money. I mean, I think that was the one that really, they wanted to move on from Ayuk, and they probably should have. Juwan Jennings is Randy Moss 2.0.
Here's William in the East Bay, wants to talk about the 49ers loss. What's up, William?
Well, good morning once again. I got to concur with Andrew on this one, okay? And you start from that offensive line, which is very poor. She got a guy that just got the big bang, you know, getting penalties, not doing it. The defensive line, I agree, Andrew. They're just not getting to that quarterback. And there's something with the Bosa thing, I'm not sure. But, you know, I think it starts there. In regards to Derek Carr, I'm a lifelong Raider fan, season ticket holder, and I go way, way back to the old AFL. And the only thing I got to say about Derek Carr, okay, and it's a Dennis Green quote, he is who we thought he is, okay? Or I just, it's kind of like the pumpkin burst, okay? Across the landscape, real quick, watching that game with Kansas City last night, you know, it was a very pedestrian game for them. You know, Kelce was pretty much non-existent the first half. You know, Speed Racer, you know, had a hell of a game and, you know, caught some great passes. But you never get the feeling that team is going to lose, even up to the end. It's kind of like you just.
Yeah, but you know what, William? I'm with you. But if there was going to be a loss for the Chiefs, I feel like last night when, you know, Kyle Pitts gets mugged in the end zone, that should have been Atlanta first and goal. Now, at the one. Now, you want to tell me that you think 100%. Patrick Mahomes would have taken the ball the other way and scored. Yeah, we've got a lot of evidence that would tell you that he can do something like that. But again, Rashee Rice was hurt at that point. So now you're going to have to keep going to Juju. Kelce had been a non-factor. I'm not, William, thank you for the call. I'm not 100% sure that the Chiefs would no doubt score there because I didn't realize this, but apparently Justin Simmons is the one guy on planet Earth who is the kryptonite for Patrick Mahomes. He's thrown him six picks.
Mm.
Now, he played for the Broncos, so obviously they had a lot more matchups when he was in the division. But these two safeties were our Mahomes killers. Didn't know it.
I feel like Mahomes is throwing it to the defense consistently on a very consistent basis these days.
He throws picks.
There was a drop. Yeah, but has he ever thrown picks like this? I felt like they dropped one early that Mahomes made a terrible throw right into the defender's hands. Who was he calling Speed Racer? Xavier Worthy?
No, Rashee Rice.
Oh, Rashee Rice. Oh, okay.
for the speeding violations that...
I thought it was Xavier Worthy set the 40 record. They're calling Xavier Worthy Speed Racer. Oh, by the way, EJ and I were talking about before, is there any more surreal thing than watching Rashee Rice?
Wait. When I said Rashee Rice, you still didn't get it at that point? I had to say because of the car things?
No, you said Rashee Rice was out. Right.
No, before, but he said Speed Racer. Who's he talking about? Xavier Worthy? I go, no, Rashee Rice. And I said, because he's got those speeding ticket, the traffic violations. And then you went, oh.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if when I first said Rashee Rice, you didn't get it.
What do you mean?
That it wasn't about him being fast. It's about him, the car accident.
Yeah, that's why I said,
okay.
But anyway, Rashee Rice, by the way, where's that suspension, Maggie?
Good question.
Maybe the second half of the Super Bowl, they'll pull him out?
Yeah, likely story. Bogusha has headlines for us. Hey, Bogues.
I need a microphone for that, don't I? Maggie, you can't believe it, how it happened. Neither can Sean McVay. This is how the Rams head coach began his post-game press conference after his team scored 13 points in the final 6-plus minutes to steal a 27-24 win from the Niners.
Holy yeah, I tell you, that was...
I mean, the dude walked in, got to the mic, and just said that. No comeback would have meant an 0-3 start for the Rams, and that was not an option, says Kyron Williams.
An 0-3 start is not good, and we know that. And so I feel like that's just something that we prepared this week to make sure that it didn't happen.
Williams ran for 89 yards and 2 scores despite his team missing Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua, and multiple O linemen. The Rams actually were down 14 in the third yesterday, so this is the Niners' largest blown lead since 2018. The Chiefs hung on to a 22-17 edge to win in Atlanta on Sunday Night Football. Kirk Cousins' offense had 2 late chances to take the lead, but failed twice on fourth down.
Really proud of the way our defense held up in the second half and kept getting us the ball back, giving us opportunities. And, you know, there's just plenty I can point to that wasn't good enough to win this game tonight.
So his Falcons are 1-2. The Chiefs are 3-0, just like Cousins' old friends in Minnesota. The Vikings took apart the Texans yesterday afternoon, 34-7. Sam Darnold joining Matthew Stafford as the only QBs in the Super Bowl era to win their first 3 starts with a new team while throwing 2 or more touchdowns in each of those games. Darnold tying a career high with 4 yesterday. Caleb Williams threw his first career TD in the Bears' 21-16 loss in Indy. Jonathan Taylor ran in 2 for the Colts. The second one came in the fourth quarter after Caleb was strip sacked.
Do you notice people getting a little nervous about Caleb Williams? I mean, it's way too early, way too early. But we had talked a lot about Perloff. He's walking into this great situation.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's got all these weapons, but the offensive line has been bad.
Yeah, and Keenan Allen, as you might expect, has not been dependable. They did come back a little bit. Does that comeback save some of the day for him? He showed in the fourth quarter that he obviously has skills.
I don't know if the Colts are good.
Yeah, that's a good question too.
I thought they were, but Anthony Richardson was the worst quarterback in that game yesterday.
Pick he threw was worse than Will Levis's somehow.
He does not. There's still not enough reps there.
Yeah, he hasn't played enough games.
Right, like that's the. Like, I think that's. That's the thing to me is like the argument against him was he played like 4 minutes of real football for the NFL. And now that you're seeing that, because he's just technically every other Colt tweet is somebody picking apart his technique, his footwork. And that's why he can't make a throw.
Absolutely. But back to Maggie's question, though, is Caleb Williams. I do sense that panic about Caleb Williams. And I said this rookie class was going to be better than 83, so I'm holding on for dear life here.
I mean, we're not even into October yet. Where is anybody going? They're rookies. They're babies.
Yeah, exactly. And Bo Nix apparently is the second fastest player in the NFL.
I had top speed at like 21 miles an hour or something. Everyone's faster than Tyreek Hill these days.
Yeah, I saw enough in the second half to give me some hope for the Bears.
So I don't know if you guys watched. I actually did not watch this. I saw it aggregated on social media where Alex Smith, who was on our show not too long ago, was like very impassioned. They were talking about Bryce Young, but it was like a very impassioned kind of plea about how not everybody can be Peyton Manning, where you throw them out there, they have these bad rookie seasons, but they learn from it. It doesn't rattle their confidence. It doesn't rattle their mechanics. And then they go on to have these Hall of Fame careers. He said, that's the anomaly. That's not real for most guys. So none of these guys should be starting is kind of Alex Smith's point.
I started right away. You know, by the way, Jimmy Johnson shredded the Panthers for benching Bryce Young. They're like, what are you doing? You're giving up on him. And I mean,
Troy Aikman's rookie year was terrible too.
I'm just saying it was long overdue to bench Bryce Young. He should have been benched halfway through last year. I don't think there's anything there with Bryce Young. I think you were right when you said pre-draft that he's too small. Now, Caleb, I would not say that. What is it, 3 games? There's no reason to write off Caleb Williams at all to me, although people are doing it.
But there was like this idea that he's like generational. We see like, oh, C.J. Stroud was able to do it and Peyton Manning was able to do it and Troy Aikman can do it. But that Alex Smith's point is like nobody should be doing this. No rookie should be starting because he's like, look at how many head coaches he's had. Look at how many offensive coordinators already Bryce Young has had in his young career. And I think Alex Smith is obviously speaking from a place of knowledge. He had, what, 5 different head coaches his first 6 years or so.
But then how do you explain C.J. Stroud?
Again, is he just an exception?
Right. Yeah. And C.J. Stroud might have, like, had some of the stuff that we thought Caleb Williams had. I mean, it was a good team. He had, developing young receivers, a sturdy offensive line, and what seems to be, before yesterday, an exponentially better head coach.
Yeah.
Because the Bears, their staff messed up in, like, four different ways going down the stretch of that game, calling timeouts, not calling timeouts. I still don't know why Matt Eberflus called a second timeout in the second half with multiple minutes left, with a stopped clock, and his team playing defense, and he was charging down the sideline. A play was over. Like, they weren't. It wasn't like they weren't lined up correctly.
Right.
The play ended. In fact, I think it was a reviewable play that they should have wanted to not go to review, and he comes running down the sideline and calls a timeout. And then they messed up whether they're going for two or one after a touchdown, burned another timeout, so they didn't have enough timeouts afterwards, and should they have kicked an onside kick at 2:01 left? Like, they were terrible also, as a staff on the stretch of that game.
You know what's being emerging a lot is, remember Jackson Smith and Jigba's quotes about Shane Waldron?
Yep. That's
those are coming up a lot.
What did he say?
EJ, what was the idea? Yeah, he was calling a hot mic, right?
Yeah, well, I don't think it was a hot mic. I think it was a question in a radio station. They asked him, you know, your former offensive coordinator is going over to the Bears. How do you feel about that? He's like, oh, good luck to them.
Oh, right.
And
that was preseason.
It's not been very good luck for Caleb Williams since Shane Waldron been calling plays there.
Wait, Bogus, you sound like you had some money there.
No, that game.
Yeah.
He's like, and then on third down.
I watch it too.
Well, it was hard. The 1 o'clock window had some weird games.
Yeah, it was.
So, like, you know, I was, and I had three screens going yesterday. So one of them got Colts Bears because that was one of two close ish games in that early window. So I was paying almost direct attention to it, and they looked like doofuses.
Okay, so this is where, again, how do you, the anatomy of ruining a quarterback, this is how it starts. I'm not saying this is going to happen with Caleb Williams, but this is how it starts. You didn't do enough when you fired the offensive coordinator. Instead of also firing the head coach, you decide to do this haphazard thing where now I bet Eberflus, if they don't, whatever expectations were in the building, they don't meet them, Eberflus is gone, which means Waldron is gone. So now you're going to do year two, Caleb, with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator or whatever combo, and now the guy's had two different entirely new playbooks he's had to learn in 2 years.
Well,
this is never how a good start for a rookie.
Well, Trevor Lawrence had the same situation, played well enough to get paid.
I mean, I wouldn't wish Trevor Lawrence's rookie year on my worst enemy. That was a terrible.
Right, but then he came back in the second year and beat Justin Herbert in the playoffs.
Yeah, he got
paid.
How's
it going now?
But I know.
The Bears are getting a little bit of a break in the sense that, I mean, they tried to put around Caleb a good team.
Yeah.
Like, you got Swift, you got Allen, I know he's hurt. You got DJ Moore, obviously, you paid him. You drafted a top 10 wide receiver. Like, I know he's a rookie.
The pass to Odunze was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, I don't want to kill the rookie, but, like, he has pieces. Like, what's the disconnect? Maybe it is the coaching.
You could be right about that. Offensive line is not as good as they thought.
Offensive line's bad, and I do agree with that, but it just feels like watching them play that it still feels too much like backyard football watching Caleb play.
Yeah.
Totally. He thinks he can make the plays he made in college. Also, he needs Keenan. He needs a safety blanket big time. He needs to make a five-yard throw. Like, there's nothing easy in that offense.
They're also not running the ball well either.
Also, did you see DJ Moore catch that Hail Mary at the 1 yard line? That, if you had bet on the Bears, that was maybe the most frustrating play of all time.
There were like eight ridiculous catches yesterday. The neighbor's catch, Juwan Jennings, the one that didn't count in the Rams-Niners game when Tutu Atwell threw it. And the other guy caught it.
DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah, that was crazy.
Just somebody else had another like Randy Moss like catch, just taken away from a defender. Yesterday was like wide receiver showing off.
I'm still dreaming about that neighbor's catch in the end zone.
But I think the Olave catch was.
Yeah. Olave getting his feet down. You're right. There were bananas catch. His quarterbacks aren't good anymore. So now the wide receivers have to bail them out.
Bogus, thank you so much. See you guys on the phones. What happened to the Raiders yesterday? Get to that. We have a lot more to dive into. We will get to our college football report card as well. Speaking of amazing plays, Shedeur Sanders with a Hail Mary at the end of the game, which sent it to overtime. Then Travis Hunter causing a fumble with his shoulder, just barreling into a dude. That was a good ending for Colorado. We got so much to do. It's Maggie and Perloff. Should have known better.
What's that?
Well, I bet Devontae Adams over 65.5 yards receiving. I should have known better that the Raiders were due for a letdown after they had the big win against the Ravens in Baltimore. And then, of course, the Panthers made a quarterback switch before the game from Bryce Young to Andy Dalton. The problem is nobody apparently told the Raiders it's going to be a different guy this time, and he actually can throw the ball, and he's not a disaster. And then we all found out the hard way.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, why hasn't Andy been starting all along? That's a different issue. The Raiders, I was early into that game, I'm like, oh, the Raiders aren't good. Last week was an anomaly. They're not good.
Well, here's Antonio Pierce after the game agreeing with a reporter that the team just did not show up.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. It was. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions and will make business decisions going forward as well.
Wow. I mean, is that not on the coach? A little bit. I know you're calling out the players, but doesn't that mean you point the finger and the thumb's coming back at you or whatever that line is? You didn't have them ready to play? Could you also say that?
So this is, everyone thinks this is Devonte Adams they're talking about, right?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably a lot of guys.
I think it's that off-season show where Devonte Adams was complaining about the team, and then he didn't put out a... I didn't watch most of
the game.
He
got hit a few times yesterday.
But did he put out a strong effort yesterday? I know you had.
Yeah, they just didn't go to him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the Gardner Minshew AOC thing. Aiden O'Connell, I don't understand, like, what do you expect from this team? They really didn't invest in quarterback. So how can you expect consistent production from Devonte Adams? I know he's right. been a good soldier up until this point of the season. I don't know. If it is Devonte Adams, does that mean the trade is coming? Like, is he going to be reunited with Aaron Rodgers?
I think that's what everyone's waiting for. Now, did I see Devonte Adams, like, making business decisions? I felt like they weren't even looking his way at some point.
Then who would have been the business guys afraid to tackle?
I mean, we got
to
watch the all 22, I imagine. Like, it becomes a little once you start grinding the film.
As much as I love the Red Rifle, to get me to watch the all 22 of a Panthers blowout of the Raiders would take a lot.
I'll report back. Big Friendly is our pal in California. Big Friendly, how you been?
Good morning, Magazine Malone. EJ, the EP, I hope the leg is doing better. 411 and the one and only Daddy Cool. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Let's dive into this and try not to hit our head on the dismount.
Okay. Got about 30 seconds here, Friendly. What do you think about your 49ers?
I'm a Niners fan. I'm glad they lost. Real quick, Bryce Young can do good in the right system. Look at Kyle Murray. The Niners are sucked. They garbage. Up by 14. Lost again. Kyle Shanahan. I can't keep a lead hand. You guys have a great day. Love you. I got to go.
That's it, Friendly. Sorry, you're Rams fan, not 49er fan. I didn't mean to insult him.
That's an interesting comparison. Is Kyler Murray good? I actually want to throw that out to the universe because, yeah, he looks good on certain plays, but then I noticed the Cardinals are always at like 13 points.
Yeah, Kyler Murray is really good at the end of the game, it seems. Like, if you're trailing by two scores in the fourth quarter, I can basically book a Kyler Murray touchdown. Now, I don't know if you're going to get two, but I can book one to make it a little more interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. They scored 13 points yesterday, like, and a lot of them were early. So I'm not sure that he's really getting the job done there. Because I was wondering, is that a team that would be bad and look at quarterback?
I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, but you see moments like, what's he? So he was 21 for 34, 207 yards, one touchdown, one INT. It's just hard to be, I worry about his height. Like, he has to drop way back,
yep.
And he makes these brilliant plays, but do they just look brilliant because he's so small?
Well, has he been taking off as much? I don't know what his rushing yard total was, but, I mean, this is a guy who...
Yeah, he's been running about 55 yards a game.
All right, well, that's not bad. Because he's smaller, but he's kind of, like, built really solidly, you know? Not like your run-of-the-mill short quarterback. 855-212-4227. Figure that out for you. Coming up, we do the NFL in 60. Every game recapped in 60 seconds. We do it next.